Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the UU Bible Study Podcast. It is always a joy to be with you. Thank you for joining us. My name is the Reverend Samuel Felderman, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Michelle Townsend Grove, and it is a joy to be with you today.
Friends, we are here in our third week of Advent of the liturgical calendar, and we're going to be looking at two different passages. Our psalm for the day, our contemplative psalm that we'll be reading together, is Psalm 115, verses 9 through 15. And then our text for today comes to us from the book of Judges, chapter 13, verses 2 through 7. As always, we will begin our time together with some reflective reading of the psalm for the week, Psalm 115. And I am going to invite Michelle to start us off with our first reading from a translation she has chosen, and then I will read from Dr. Gaffney's translation, and then we will have a time of silence together.
Thank you for this. And everyone, welcome. It is one of those things where no matter what your theology is, reading these Psalms and hearing these words and connecting with these ancient people has power. So we invite you to hear these and put aside any preconceptions, any kinds of issues you might have with theology and religion, and listen to these as story and as connections with communities of people who have value. So hear these words, Psalm 115, 9 to 15, from the Complete Jewish Bible. Israel, trust Adonai. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in Adonai. He is their help and shield. You who feel Adonai, trust in Adonai. He is their help and shield. Adonai has kept us in mind, and he will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear Adonai, great and small alike. May Adonai increase your numbers, both yours and those of your children. May you be blessed by Adonai, the maker of heaven and earth. And now Samuel will read the same passage from the translation done by Reverend Dr. Wilma Gaffney.
Friends, Psalm 115, 9 through 15. Israel, trust in the Holy One of old. Their help and their shield is she. House of Aaron, trust in the Holy One of Sinai. Their help and their shield is she. You who revere the Holy One, trust in the Holy One. Their help and their shield is she. The faithful one remembers us. She will bless us. She will bless the house of Israel. She will bless the house of Aaron. She will bless those who revere God, who is holy, both small and great. May the generous one add to, increase you all, both you and your children. May you all be blessed by the ageless one, the maker of heaven and of earth. We will now take a moment for quiet meditation. Michelle will ring the bell to begin our time together, and we will have the bell rung again to bring us into our time of commentary. Thank you.
Ah, my friends, and now it is time to listen to the story from the Jewish text in which Dr. Gaffney has chosen for Advent 3. Hear this story, the translation of Dr. Gaffney's, Judges 13, verses 2 to 7. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the tribe of the Danites, and his name was Manoah. His wife was barren. She had never given birth. And the messenger of the Holy One appeared to the woman and said to her, "Look, now you are barren, having never given birth. You shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now please be on guard not to drink wine or strong drink, and you shall not eat anything unclean. For look, you shall conceive and give birth to a son. No razor shall be upon his head, for a Nazarite to God shall the boy be from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and spoke to her husband, saying, "Someone from God came to me, and their appearance was like that of a messenger of God, incredibly awesome. I did not ask the messenger from where they came, and their name they did not tell me. Yet they said to me, 'You shall conceive and give birth to a son. Do not drink wine or strong drink, and do not eat anything taboo. For a Nazarite to God shall the boy shall be from the womb until the day of his death.'" Thus ends this reading. Samuel, I'm always hesitant and excited to ask this question. What do you think?
Well, Michelle, it's again so nice to be here with you, and I am so excited for us to jump into this text together. One of the things that I wanted to start by talking about briefly is this concept of the Nazarite. So in our text, the messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord appears and says, "Congratulations, wife of Manoah." Who is unnamed. You have been barren, but you're going to have a son. And immediately you need to stop consuming alcohol. You need to stop doing anything that is unclean because the child that's going to be born to you is going to be a Nazarite. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with that phrase, because we don't have a lot of Nazarites running around these days, the laws around what makes a Nazarite are actually recorded in the Book of Numbers, so the fourth book of the Torah of the Hebrew Torah, or what Christians may call the Pentateuch. And what the rules for Nazarites are listed in chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. So, for anyone who's interested, please go and read that passage. But essentially, a Nazarite is a person. It actually specifies that it can be a man or a woman. It is not gender specific, which a lot of things in thinking of like the priesthood and that sort of thing were. So this equality of the genders is an interesting thing to note here. But Nazarites are people who take special vows to God as a dedication to God. And the three main features of being a Nazarite is that you do not drink any form of wine or alcohol. You actually are not, verse 4 of Numbers chapter 6 actually says that all the days of the Nazarite, they shall eat nothing that's produced from the grapevine, even the seed or the skin. So totally supposed to avoid anything to do with wine or grapes. The other thing that comes up is Nazarites are not supposed to cut their hair. There's to be no cutting or shoring of the hair at all, and their hair is to just continue to grow. Then the other thing is that Nazarites are not ever supposed to go near a corpse. So that sounds like something that you go, well, who's hanging around corpses, right? But when you think of funerals and things, what this is saying is the Nazarites cannot attend funerals. They're not allowed to participate. It even says in verse 7, even if their father, mother, brother, or sister should die, they shall still not defile themselves because of their consecration. So these are the big three things that we see in a Nazarite vow. What makes the story unique about Samson that I really want to highlight here is that Nazarites are, as they're set up in Numbers chapter 6, are adults who volunteer to become Nazarites and only are Nazarites for a specific period of time. This isn't a necessarily a lifelong commitment. It's something that someone would do for a period of weeks or months as an act of extra devotion to God. So what is laid out as a Nazarite then is a willful adult who volunteers to make this special commitment to God for a particular period of time. With Samson's story, this annunciation story to his mother, what we have is that God has decided, has announced and declared that this child is going to be a Nazarite their whole life. And he's going to, from the moment of conception through death, is going to fulfill these vows. And so it's not a voluntary transaction the way that Nazarites normally are. This is a peculiar thing that's happening, to have God declaring that this person is a Nazarite. That's very uncommon. But again, if people are interested, Numbers chapter 6 will lay out all of the things that revolve around the Nazarites.
I love that. And I think that is foundational to really understanding this story, is that commitment. This is the beginning of the story of Samson, which is a fascinating story. And so one of the things that I was thinking about as I was reading this is understanding the book of Judges. The book of Judges is not one that we normally read. It's first of all, it's full of violence. It's full of some very uncomfortable passages. And yet, to me, it's a critical book to understanding the whole Jewish history because it's written at that time that right after Moses, that the people have been in the wilderness and are now coming into this land that, God has given them. Yet, God did not give them empty land, God gave them land that had the Canaanites. And now we have that very difficult, dare I say, even harmful, destructive time where people are being killed and land is being overtaken and the like, all in the name of this God who is of these people coming in, right? Judges lays out the cycle of the relationship with God that I think has so many teaching elements to it. There's the cycle of the people are dedicated to God and they're like, we're with you and we will obey your commandments. And then God says, and in turn, I will give you blessings. And then the people get very comfortable and time goes on and they're like, well, maybe worshiping another God or two isn't so bad. Let's throw that in. What could it hurt, right? And so they start doing that. And as they do that, they turn away from God. God starts getting a little bit more miffed along the way. And so life gets harder for them. And the blessings are like taken away. And then the people are all of a sudden saying, hey, we're struggling a lot. Where did God go? God, we're sorry. We turned away from you. We're so sorry. And then God says, I hear you. I forgive you. I will send a leader to help you out of the mess you're in. And that's where some of the judges then come to play. They then fight a battle or they do whatever they need to do. And then they come back and they recovenant with God. They renew that covenant with God and they start the cycle all over again. And what's fascinating to me about this whole cycle is A, it shows the unending love of God, right? God's not like, you know what? That was the last time, folks, I'm done. Never. And I think that's an important message for all of us. And it also demonstrates the imperfection and some of the places where humanity fails. And that's a part of our condition. That's a part of who we are. And how do we then reconcile that relationship? And all of these cycles are happening in the book of Judges up to the story where we have just met the unnamed mother of Samson, right? So with that, Samuel, where do we go? What other things are coming up for you?
Well, no, I think that you bring up a really powerful and meaningful point about the book of Judges. Yes, we here is our one little text that we're looking at today. If you are looking for an adventure, I would encourage you to go and read the book of Judges. It is not your grandmother's Bible study to work through the book of Judges. It is a complicated, war-filled, sex-filled,
Yes.
complicated, mucky. It's a mess of a book. But it does tell this story of what it means to be what it means to be in relationship with God and what it means to be in relationship with our neighbors. And one of the things that I think is really powerful, especially about the story specifically about Samson, this child that has been announced to this unnamed woman, this child that's been announced, he is this incredible example of someone who has greatness sort of thrust upon him. As we said moments ago,
Ah,
Nazarites are
good.
normally cho they normally enter this voluntarily, and Samson did not. And Samson is called in this specific way to do something, and he doesn't always do it very well. And then this is maybe an understatement even. That's maybe even it. That's the way do you read it? You'll understand what I'm saying.
Yes,
And he doesn't
yes.
always live up to the expectations that have been placed upon him. And that makes him a really interesting character. Of here is someone who's been called to do great things. Here's someone who's been asked to do a hard thing and lead his people. And here's someone who really doesn't always want to do it. And that is such an accurate description of me on any given Tuesday morning, right? Like, none of us, we all, there's a humanness to the story of Samson that I think is really beautiful and worth sitting with. And I would encourage people to sit down with the book of Judges and work through this story that is really honest. And I think that that's really powerful. The
Thank you
last
for
thing
the question.
I wanted to throw in here, before we wrap up is, as we're getting closer to, we're in Advent, we're now in the third week of Advent, we're getting closer to Christmas. That's what, of course, Advent is building up to. And we all, not all of us, but most of us know the Christmas story, right? That Mary is an angel appears to Mary and tells her she's going to have a baby, and she gives birth to a son who she names Jesus, and that's the Christmas story. What we're seeing through not only this story but the previous stories is that what happened to Mary is not as unique as sometimes we might think it is. There's a real MO here of angels just showing up at people's houses and saying, the Hebrew Bible
Yes.
is full of stories of angels who, I love the way that Samson's mother describes this, right?
Yes.
She says, in verse 6, then the woman came to her husband and said, someone from God came to me. And their appearance was like the messenger of God. I didn't ask where the messenger came from, and they didn't give me their name, right? It's just this random, a random angel shows up and is like, "Hey, I have news for you." And what we're seeing is this is really sort of what we do. What this is the Christmas story is a variation on a theme. It's not a unique story. It is a continuation of how God has been working already. And I think that that's a thing worth thinking about as well, that this is an ongoing repeating story that I think is pretty cool.
I like that. Thank you. And, and my friends, as we're wrapping up now, just know that there's two things to take away. One is that once again, Dr. Gaffney's both translation and placement of story is powerful, particularly in this season where Christians are preparing for the birth of the Christ, right? And so that's an important piece. The other is that if you're interested, there's a lot of good reading. A, after this, the story of Samson, and Samuel and I are hoping through our Patreon account to do some extra work on Samson, on Delilah, on all of those kinds of issues and stories, which are absolutely fascinating. And then also, though, do some reading before and see these patterns. We've named a lot of patterns today, and I think keeping those in mind will be helpful as you go through this podcast. So, everyone, thanks again, and we hope you have a good week of Advent 3. And we're out.
There it is.
All right, good
I thought
job.
that went really